Next half hour, we're going to talk with Dane Cialino about a story that Mike Pearlstein did on Channel 4 about some legal maneuvering that kept a security guard from a lengthy prison sentence. And I say that only because, A, I want you to keep listening, and B, I am a gun guy, but I want everybody to understand what you could be looking at and what you could be in store for you once you pull that trigger, and what kind of world of hurt you could be in once you are in the system, because once you are in the system, you lose all control. Let's welcome in Devontae Lewis, Public Service Commissioner, to talk about the big, beautiful bill and energy costs. How you doing, Devontae?
I'm doing well. How are you this morning?
I'm all right, sir. Did you have a nice 4th?
Yeah, it was great. It's hot, but it's a good one.
Yeah, at least the air conditioner was working, huh? The power was on?
And we kept the power on.
That's the main thing. Exactly. Let's talk about what's going on with this big, beautiful bill that the Republican, whatever you want to call it, I don't know if they're still calling it that, but the president signed it, the spending bill. What's that going to do with utility rates to Louisiana or to the entire lower 48? Tell me about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think this bill, while there were many components to it, I think the energy portion of the bill is probably one of the most problematics that we're going to see. And you've heard this from commissioners to utility companies. We're looking in Louisiana alone about 11% increase in utility bills, and this is why. They are rolling back the tax credits that help produce power plants. If we look back in this last year alone, 90% of all the new power generation that was brought online were from wind, solar, or battery. And now they are going to phase out that tax credit unless you start construction by the end of 2027, mm-hmm. Which means because we know with data centers like Meta that's coming to North Louisiana, the demand for power is increasing. We know there's a backlog in gas turbines, so it's harder to build a gas power plant. So that means you have the cost of inflation, you have the construction costs, and I think this is where a lot of the hidden cost of your utility bills live, which is in the construction phase of power plants. And so I think we have to be very careful and mindful of what we're going to see over the next few years. I mean, the overall prediction across the nation is about a 7.5% increase on your utility bills from this bill alone.
And you're saying 11% in Louisiana?
That's correct, because we have such a high demand for new power plants, and we can't build them. And there's some other provisions in this law that's going to be very hard. If you have not started construction for, let's say, a solar facility, you are then subject to what they call the foreign occupant clause, which means if any parts of the facility is from a adversarial or foreign government as defined, that's not defined in the bill, means you won't get it. So we know right now China is the leading manufacturer in some of the parts. So how this plays, how this works out, does this mean we see no development? It leaves a lot of questions for a lot of us in the industry of wondering how we move forward.
So let me go back. You said 90% of the power that was brought online. Take me back to that, Devontae. What did you say? It was brought by what?
Yes. Yeah, so 90% of all the power that was brought online last year, new electricity that was connected to the grid, was from solar, wind, and battery projects. They are faster and cheaper right now to build to market. So when you are looking to add capacity to ensure, for instance, there's no blackout. If we had some batteries, quite frankly, in the New Orleans region, we probably wouldn't have seen a blackout. So there's an incentivization to do so, but this bill takes away a lot of the tax credits that help keep the construction costs low, as we know that there's a supply chain issue and all of that. So that's why I think it's important. Look, when we had new electricity last year, 90% of it came from wind, solar, and battery across the nation.
If we 90% of what we got came from solar, wind, and battery, but what percentage of the total was that? Do you know?
I don't know that off the top of my head. I mean, what we're seeing is, like, for instance, in Texas, our neighboring state of Texas, just last week when I was looking at ERCOT, which is kind of their utility system, 50% of all the all the power that was being used on last week was coming from wind, solar, and battery. And so it's providing opportunities. And I want to be very clear, this doesn't mean that gas disappears. This doesn't mean that there's no gas generation. What we're recognizing right now is gas generation is harder to build and it's more expensive, but that you can have some intermediate resources like solar and wind especially excel at this point in time of the year to be able then to keep your gas generators from having to run to expand their lifespan and also keep the cost down. So I want to be very clear, like, this bill kind of tried to say, hey, we are only going with gas and versus wind and solar, but that's not really the debate. That's not really what's happening in the system. It is about all of these resources and how do we use them at the most effective time for the best price for the consumer.
Well, and I see a line here from a story in CNN.com says you're moving from not using a lot of fossil fuels to using a lot of fossil fuels. That makes the price go up a lot. That, according to Robbie Orvis, Energy Innovation Senior Director of Modeling Analysis, energy analysts expect the cost of natural gas and the cost of building new gas-powered plants will increase, and with it, consumer energy bills. So while people on one hand say that solar, wind, and battery is not efficient, doing away with that is going to put more demand on fossil fuels. Forget the environment. I'm just talking about demand and so forth. I don't want to forget the environment, but I'm just saying for the time being, if you can look at it from strictly the economic argument, it's going to go up anyway, right?
Right. And I mean, I think that's the other unintended consequences is that we're going to see, we're already, when you're talking about a gas turbine for a gas generator, you probably can't get one until 2032. Mm-hmm. So when you are talking about now with the demand of data centers, the demand of big industry that is moving to states like Louisiana, let's talk about the Hyundai facility, our Meta, if we put these requirements, I mean, Meta's asking for 1,500 megawatts worth of solar if possible. And so now it's going to be extremely hard to meet those needs, which means there's going to be more baked-in costs of trying to build generation enough to meet the demand, to meet the need. And so this is why this is very scary. I want to contextualize this even further for the audience. When you think about the type of power that Meta needs to run this facility that they're putting in Richland Parish, mm-hmm. it is twice the power needs of the city of New Orleans. So Meta's facility alone is going to be two times the amount of power that the city of New Orleans uses on every single day. So when you're talking about having only one resource to build, to use, to power that plant with de-incentivizing all the other options, you just rose the cost on all of us significantly.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. Let's specifically talk. I want to talk about nuclear power, too, when we come back. So let's talk about the Meta data center and the power needs for that and how specifically this bill is going to affect that. And you may have told me already, but I want to recap because it can get kind of complicated. We're talking to Devontae Lewis, Public Service Commissioner, about monthly energy bills in Louisiana could go up almost $800 a year. Not monthly, but the energy costs for Louisiana go up about $800 a year. I don't know why they said monthly, but he said like an 11% increase. 820 traffic, WWL. 825, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Devontae Lewis, Public Service Commissioner, about the energy costs for Louisianians could go up almost $800 a year under the new tax bill that was passed. And the reason for that is, Devontae, in a sentence for people that have just tuned in, the reason is...
Well, it's because of a lot of the tax credits for construction of power plants that are being phased out very rapidly. The bill as passed has a very rapid phase down that starts if you're not in construction by 2027, then you can't claim the credit. And then it has a scale down until it's sort of completely wiped out. Many people say, well, why would we do that? Well, because a lot of these projects sometimes that are utilities are proposing may not make the most economical sense, and some of these production tax credits have been used as a way to shield ratepayers from the challenges of the supply chain, of construction cost. And I think what a lot of people may not know is that's all built into your utility bill. So if sometimes they're not a cost cap. So if a utility comes to the commission and says, hey, we want to build a gas power plant and it's going to cost us $30 million and we approve it, but because of supply chain issues, because of inflation, that goes to $70 million, we've already approved them applying the construction, which means as things happen in the market, they have a right to recover because we gave them permission to build. And so that's why it makes it harder, because now you're having a harder time of controlling the cost. especially with the other circumstances affecting our economy.
Now, let's talk about nuclear power, because whenever we talk about this, I get texts from people talking about nuclear power as though it's a panacea for everything. What is the situation with nuclear power in the United States? Is that somewhere where we could produce as much power as we need for these metadata centers, et cetera? Tell me, what is the environment like politically, every way, about nuclear power, Devante?
Well, I mean, I think everyone's been talking about nuclear as a thing. Hey, that could be a bridge. And one of the challenges that I say with nuclear is not that nuclear doesn't provide opportunities. Nuclear also is always 10 years out of being 10 years out of being affordable. So when you're looking at the options on the table, nuclear sometimes is very costly. You look at the new nuclear plant that Georgia Power built in Georgia. It went three times over budget. All of those costs go right back onto the consumer. So for me as a regulator, it is not that I am anti-nuclear. It is that nuclear is providing not to be the most cost-effective way to provide power reliability. But also one of the things that the Big Beautiful Bill, or whatever we want to call it, did, is it also phases out the nuclear tax credit. So while it picked nuclear as a primary source, and it's not as fast as a rundown as solar, wind, and batteries, nuclear also will have a phase out and is also subject to the same foreign adversary entities clause within the bill, which I think is going to slow down significantly nuclear development and deployment because of the cost of those tax credits for shielding ratepayers. So in allowing more people to say, okay, we can take the risk in building something that is. We have some challenges. I mean, if you look at Louisiana's nuclear facilities, they're some of the worst. I mean, Grand Gulf, Waterford, Riverbend, they don't perform very well according to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. And so I am not anti-nuclear, but I'm saying the evidence shows that there are other opportunities for Louisiana to use right now that we should take advantage of while the deployment continues to go on and we get it to a more cost-effective approach.
So when you say the nuclear plants in Louisiana don't perform very well, that's in terms of efficiency with generating power or safety or what?
Yeah, from when you look at the National Regulatory Commission, just staying online. I mean, this is part of the challenge that we had with the blackouts over Labor Day is both nuclear facilities in Louisiana were down. And so while it does provide, as someone would say, baseload power or dispatchable generation, it also has a significant risk of not being able to maintain itself, which means you need to have backup. And that's why battery and storage and solar are important, because they're the backup generation when something like this goes down.
Has nuclear power advanced at all, or is it with the time since, you know, Waterford was built and Three Mile Island and so forth, has it expanded? Technology advanced at all, or is it pretty much what it is? The physics are what they are.
It is advancing. I think the challenge why you're not seeing significant nuclear deployment across the nation is the cost. That while the technology has been the cost to build, the cost to maintain is just too high of a price for utilities to ask regulators to give them, to say this is the best source resource that we can use to provide power. So until that cost comes down, I think we're not going to see significant nuclear development in this country.
Round numbers, what's a nuclear plant going for?
Oof. It depends. Well, Vogtle, the plant that Georgia Power built, was somewhere in the $200 million plus to build, and that was, like I said, I think two or three times higher than their average prediction of what they assumed it was going to be. So it's hard to say right now, but also because of supply chain issues. It's changing the price rapidly, and I think that's where all of the economic factors come into play. It's not just build. It's about, can you get the supplies? Can you get the infrastructure to even build the plant before you even operate the plant?
Thank you, Devante. Appreciate it. We'll come back, talk about, before you drop that hammer, you better think about what's going to be the consequence of it, with Dane Cigalino right now. Time for WWL First News.